in verse 16, and then we'll kind of use that, the Bible as a commentary in Acts 8:26. 18:16, sorry. A man's gift. Do y'all see that? A man's gift. All right. Need to read this and understand it. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. What I've asked you guys to do the last couple of 3 or 4 weeks is be praying and asking God to reveal your gift, the thing that God's called you to do. When we say gift, this is the anointing, the thing that you were called and meant to do. Right after you get saved, gifts and callings are without repentance. I want to lead into that. You can have a gift on your life and not be saved. Amen? I'll put it this way. I've seen many people teach, many people preach, many people sing, many people serve, and then get saved. it would behoove you, it would be wise for you to get saved and then operate in your gift. But it is totally possible. It is totally possible. I knew that I was supposed to preach when I was 8 years old, did not get saved till I was 30. All right? So there's a very clear fact for you. So 8:16, a man's gift maketh room for him. Before the comma right there, it says a man's gift maketh room for him. That is separate in place of putting you in front of important people. That'll come second. A man's gift maketh room for him. If you will sell out to your calling and gift in Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, you will go and do what God wants you to do. Okay? And there are no big places. There are no small places in ministry. There are just places that God ordains for that time. Okay? So if you'll sell out, what I'm saying is if you'll commit to your gift and calling, God will make a room for you. He will make a place. That room right there, he'll make a place for you to operate in. Now that can change. That can periodically change. But that gift is what makes you, makes the room. It's so important, and I know I keep harking on that, but if you don't settle that with God, a lot of times you'll find yourself wandering or backslidden and floundering as a believer because you don't get locked into what God's called you to do and operate in that, and it causes you to realize, I don't know who I am in Christ Jesus. Because once you've been called to do something, you'll start to study, you'll start to seek, you'll start to go after, and the next thing you know, you'll be operating in that, and that will mature you, that will bring you up, that will make you operate in your gifts, calling, and abilities. And listen, some of the ministries that we'll do here, some of the things that we'll try to go out and be a part of, is all it is to you, one, it serves a purpose for us, gets us in the community, serves a bigger purpose for God, shares the gospel. The next thing is, it might reveal your gift to you that you didn't even know was there. You could be out there and all of a sudden, this happens so many times. This happened to me, this happened to my father, happened to so many people I know it's called. All of a sudden, you're standing next to somebody and they're talking. All of a sudden, you're like, the light goes off. And you're like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's who I'm supposed to be. My dad, I remember when he first went into prison ministry, there was a man that just came and visited their church who was in prison ministry. My dad talked to him for 2 straight hours. And next thing you know, 18 years, you know, that's just the way it is. Mine started out, I started going out and trying to reach homeless. Next thing you know, I ran into a place called Providence Ministries. I talked to a guy the rest of my life. That's how I ended up here. I started out in 2007 in full-time ministry. That's how I ended up here, of all places. I think I drove by this church twice the whole time I was at Flat Top, or when I was at the camp, our master's camp. I drove the wrong way and went by here, and I went, well, there's a church. Little did I know. All right, so then that next part of the verse is, and bringeth him before great men. That right there is, it's subjective. Great men. Anybody that you come in contact and share the gospel with can turn into a great person. Amen? You never know. You never know when you share that gospel, when you share your gift, when you're standing in front of those people, you do not know how that person is going to carry on. That's going to kind of be the commentary for tonight in the Bible. So let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. I thought I was going to be in a totally different place tonight. I was really fired up about this message the last couple of days, and God just swooped out right away, and that was more for me. Ain't it amazing that you can work on something and realize it's just God working on you Amen. I love that better anyway. I do. I'm glad I did all that work, put all that preparation into it, because you know what? That was me and I needed it. All right? So Romans 8, verse 26. We're going to learn some stuff tonight, but I'm going to give you something. Man, I seen this in a whole new light. Man, it got me today. I preached this to myself twice already, so you're just going to have to take it in the third time. Yes. Acts 8. Sorry. Thank you, Melissa. Whoever else was saying stuff. Acts 8, verse 26. Goodness Lord. Help me with the ADHD. Yes, ma'am. Acts 8. Verse 26. Why did I say Romans? I don't know. The angel. Do you see that out there? And the angel. All right. Good deal. We're on page. All right. So we're going to learn a lot tonight. This I preached this myself twice, and this third time is with us. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Philip is in Samaria, and he is having one of the greatest times of his life. He's in a revival, and people are receiving the Holy Ghost. People are being healed. Devil's being kicked out, having the biggest time of his life. Man, he's right in the heartbeat of a revival. Do you know what happened right before that? He got ran out of Jerusalem by threat of his life with all the other apostles and disciples and believers in Jesus. So guess what? They went through a transition. They were in Jerusalem. Jesus had died, been resurrected, filled the church with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? They're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're like, all right, man, this is awesome. Man, the church is on fire. And then Jesus raised up a man named Saul, turned him into a man named Paul, and turned him loose on the church. Is that a terrible thing? At the time, do you know what? The church thought it was the most awful thing that ever happened to them. There was a man who was in charge of slaughtering Christians. And he went into the New Testament church at Jerusalem and emptied it out. And they went running down into all the cities and all the towns. And Philip and a bunch of them went down to Samaria, which they would have never went to unless God had used Paul as an instrument of destruction when he was going to use him for an instrument of salvation later on. But he runs them off down into Samaria. And I guarantee they're all sitting down there going, man, what is going on? This is crazy. I don't want to be here. But then all of a sudden they start looking around and go, you know what? You know who's down here? Who? People need to hear about Jesus. Well, you know what? Maybe God's got his hand in this. And he didn't want us sitting stagnant up in Jerusalem. Maybe he wanted to push us out and push us down to a group of people that we would never be in contact, never reach, never minister to. But here we are. So you know what? Maybe God meant this for the good. Let's just start preaching Jesus. And they did. And all these people started getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And man, it was amazing. God was doing big stuff at Samaria. Man, I bet he was thinking, man, here's what I think he was probably thinking. Man, we could do this. We could set this up. We could do this. Because everywhere I've ever been in ministry, I start thinking of how it can develop and spread out and how it can do more. And I'm thinking, I bet he's thinking, man, we could do this. You know, when Jerusalem ever comes back online, we could shoot up there and shoot back down here. And then guess what? Here comes Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Man, God don't always do what we think's right or appropriate or comfortable or easy or even promoted in a promotion type wise. God, I hope y'all can handle this kind of preaching tonight. God ain't always going to do it your way. And sometimes when he does it, you're gonna be like Philip. Sometimes you're going to think, man, this is awful. And then a few days later, you're going to be like, man, this is great. And then a few days later, you're going to be like, man, this is awful again. Some people, if they're careful and they're ready, they'll think you're kind of bipolar. That's what's wrong with this guy. Have you ever read the book of Psalms? Just read them. David sounds like he needs to be medicated. He's down, he's up, he's down, he's back up. That's the way we are. When you're totally relying on God, a shepherd, Sometimes the shepherd has better sight than you do. The shepherd is looking down the long end of the thing, and you can't see it. He sees from a heavenly place. He sees from the press box of our lives, and he's calling the plays because he sees what you don't see. Phillips, man, he's like, man, I wonder if he, I don't know, he's, they're men and women, they're just like us. Maybe he said, prayer, God, I might have heard you wrong. I know you sent this angel down here. Ain't that amazing in Acts chapter 8 when we've got the Holy Spirit, we got everything, he sends an angel, he dispatches an angel? I think that's on purpose. I think he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to find that out in a minute. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, but I believe it's going to take a little bit of extra to pry Philip out of Samaria because he had to pry him out of Jerusalem. He shows up. I want you to go down, and I want you to go down by way of Gaza. Listen, guys. Is this not fun stuff? How many of you are having the greatest time in your life with Jesus? Man, he is just like this. Head south. All right. A little more descriptive here. Jesus. Okay, we're going to be going out of Samaria towards Gaza. Okay, that sounds good. GPS set. 300 and something miles ahead. Next turn, Jesus. Head to the desert. That's vague. That's very vague, Jesus. Hey, if you got any time with the Lord whatsoever, and if you're just getting on board with the Lord's plan in your life, you better read some of this instead of understand who God is. God is not. He is not a chatty Cathy. He will not talk your ears off. I worry about people who say, God said, God said, God said. And a lot of times God says, he told them to go left this day, and then he turned around and told them to go the other way the next day. Man, I'm telling you right now, that's not the same God I get. My God does something like this. Go there and wait for the next word. And I've made SOS calls. SOS, SOS. He's up there like, have you heard anything from me? No. Stay the course. Right? Guys, we make this Bible like somehow we translate ourselves into this and we put it in our perspective. Do y'all ever think what Philip's thinking? Have y'all ever had a really awesome, powerful time with God? I'm talking about one where you just sit there and go, wow. Wow, God. Anybody in this room? It's active. We can go back and forth. Interactive church here. I mean, it's just a family here, okay? You know me. Have you ever had a big time with God? I mean, where you just went, wow, any time in your life? Did any time after that, did you go back to normal or even worse sometimes? Huh? Yeah, okay. Well, you know what's happened with me sometimes? I've had some of the most outrageous, amazing things happen on Sunday and Monday. I almost forget that it was just Sunday. Amen? Somebody go, man, you're sitting on Monday going, I don't even know. God, I don't even know where you're at. Now, yesterday I was running laps, doing backflips, doing cartwheels, crying, shouting, praising, baptizing, leading people to the Lord. I mean, and Monday we get twisted. Golly, bum. Do y'all see Philip yet? This is not Streetlight City. This is not a car with lights in it. This is not a GPS in front of you telling you every turn. He is walking away into a desert by himself. God, what are we doing? You ain't sent me to know. You ain't gave me no direction. This is just a direction. This is just a very vague, very big, very dark, very scary, very empty location. That's God. That's God, guys. This is how Jesus operates. I hope you got the Holy Spirit. Hope you've been born again. Because God, I'm telling you right now, he don't get up every morning, pour you a cup of coffee, sit at your table and say, all right, Kevin, this is how your day's going to go. And this is going what they're going to say. This is what you're going to do. And this thing bad happens to you. This is going to happen. Man, he don't do that. He don't do that. He says, you got to walk by faith. When I do speak to you, just walk it out in faith. And he arose and went. Verse 27, and he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Man, I've done a little study on this Queen of Candace. This is very much like the Pharaohs. There was a lineage of queens that carried this name Candace. There were two Ethiopias at the time, and neither one of them are the one of today. Where you hear the word Nubia or Nubian prince, that was northern Africa. This is just some historical stuff. These were warrior women. Whew. It's kind of cool. That some of the historical stuff, not biblical stuff, historical stuff, was they fought on elephants. Ooh, okay, just a little history for you. No, don't sit here and go, man, Kevin's preaching about African warrior women on the back of elephants. That's not where I wanted to go with it either, but every time I read that, I kind of wanted to be like, who are we talking about here? These were very powerful people. They were very sophisticated, and they were very wealthy. Amen? And you know what it said? They sent him down there. What happened? They sent him down there to see what was going on with God, and he got down there and began to worship something he didn't even know he was worshiping. Anybody ever done that before? Y'all are so spiritual. I got two mm-hmms. Mm-mm-hmm. Oh, y'all are just all spiritual. Y'all always known what y'all wanted and got with God. Well, ain't that something? I've done that so many times in my life. Either got invited to church, went to church, got, you know, walked into a revival by accident, and I'm sitting in the midst, and I'm like, man, what's the big deal about here? What are they going on about? I get that Ethiopian, he's sitting at the eunuchs looking at him going, who are they? What is going on here? And what has happened recently? There seems to be an upheaval. But you know what happened? While he was there, somebody slid him a scroll of Isaiah. Well, ain't that something? Ain't that how God works? I can't wait to meet this fella. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet him. Took a ride up. That's how God works. Here's a guy. Look, Philip thought he was getting, he's on operation, God don't know where I'm going. And the Ethiopian's on operation, I don't know where I'm going. And next thing you know, God's working on both ends of them. And he's gave this guy a scroll of Isaiah, which Jesus preached out of more than anybody in the New Testament. He preached out of it. He would hand me a scroll, Isaiah, because it was about him. And they just gave him some read material. I don't know who it was, but they just, hey, will you take that? What is it? He goes, it might be some read material. You can get some good sleep out of it on your way home, whatever the case may be. If you ever get that, just open that thing up on your way home. You read it, maybe you get some sleep. God, some of y'all are so spiritual. I worked at a recovery center one time, and this guy said, the guy that was running at the time, he was having a time, you know, going to sleep, so he went downstairs, and three of the clients were downstairs cooking a full-on breakfast at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he walked in and goes, what are y'all doing? Well, son, I couldn't sleep. I just wanted something to eat. I said, I figured if I get me some milk and eggs and bacon and something in my belly, I'd go to bed. He goes, I don't know where you think you are, but this ain't your home. You need to turn all that stuff off and go to bed. He said, well, I'm having a hard time go to sleep. He said, well, if you're having a hard time go to sleep, get down to the end of your bed and start praying. You'll be asleep in no time, son. Yeah, I'm being honest. Let me give you another one. It was two revivalists, two evangelists. They went out to preach a revival for a whole week. They shared a room together. Well, guess what? They got home the same time. They both preached each other silly. They got in the room, they were sleeping, and all of a sudden, one get up under the bed, and all of a sudden, the other one goes, my gosh, I should have knew better. He goes, what? He goes, don't even pray before you go to bed. A few minutes later, the one that went to pray, and he shook him, said, hey, man, get up and get in the bed. Your snoring's killing me. Y'all get that before you get home. What I'm telling you, man, sometimes it ain't all the spiritual. Sometimes you get things in your life, and they are important to God. They're important to you, but you don't even know how important they are until they activate, until they drop, until they hit, until you get it. Amen? Into that thing that hits. He had God's word that absolutely could have changed everything in his life. He didn't even know it, and somebody gave it to him. Probably didn't even think it was going to change his life, but God knew. But when he got it in his hand, then all of a sudden God knew he was going to read it. But then when he started reading it, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He said, Philip, I got a man you need to see. So don't ever worry about where God's sending you. if it's a big deal or not, or it's an important person or not, or if it's an important place, just go when he calls you to go. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Did you notice the change right there? The angel's not there. Who's working now? He needed that big nudge up at the beginning, but now he's operating in the Holy Spirit. Hey, man, guys, listen to this. It's very important. I could sit up here and scream and holler and preach my guts out, and I love doing that, but I want you to understand, if you are not spiritual led, you are spiritual dead. If you do not have an unction of the Holy Spirit pushing you and guiding you and directing you, then you need to check up about your salvation, because God absolutely presses you. When you get saved and born again, he gives you one part of the Godhead, and he pushes you to do things. You can't explain it. The unction's there. You're like, I can't help it. I got to go do. I got to go say. I got to go talk. I got to plug in. I can't tell you how it's going to be, but praise God, once you start operating in it, man, it will blow your mind. You will be sitting at the end of places going, God, I can't believe it. That was just a nudge of God. There he is. He's reading. The Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Good Lord, ain't that good? Get closer. Get closer. Guys, get closer to people. Get close enough to hear them, talk to them, and communicate with them. This last weekend, well, that's what we wanted to do. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. Why? Because it works. Because it works. I'm about to give y'all one right here. It's going to drop on you. Watch this. Then the Spirit said unto him, go near. Verse 30. And Philip ran thither. Whew, glory. Walking, drawing closer. Then what is he doing? He's running, man. Ain't that something? Running thither. Does he look crazy at this point? Anybody? Anybody that did that stuff this weekend with us, did you feel a little crazy? Did you feel like when you was walking up to somebody and you see them looking back at you and they're going, and you're going, is that the one? Or is they the one? Are they one? They're looking at you going, who are these people? Are they a cult? What's going on? Right? It's a wrestling match, ain't it? Oh, no. What? I had people praying in this place, people standing out in front of this place. Hey, we might want to call the police. Oh, what's going on? Could you imagine seeing Philip run, this eunuch? He said, oh, my, he's from a total, all right, running up to the chair. Woo, great. God will have you do some things that will absolutely get you out of your comfort zone. But you are encountering people for Christ. That is the only commission we have out of the Bible. We do not have a meeting ordinance in the Bible. We have a go share the gospel ordinance from God. That is the Great Commission. We meet to worship God. We meet to learn about God. We meet to help each other. But ultimately, that is the goal, is to go out and share the gospel. If that is not the ultimate goal, we are failing and have failed as a church. Our goal as a church should be to reach lost souls. God cares about that more than anything else on this planet. That's period. Watch this right here. I love this. I'm about to preach. I wanted to preach this to you. And Philip ran thither and heard him read of the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest. And he says, understandest thou what thou readest. Verse 30, y'all need to hear this. Did y'all see that? Was it complicated? Is it complicated right there? How did he initiate the conversation? He asked him a simple question. Understand what you're reading? Boy, that's an icebreaker, ain't it? Can I give you one that works for me in a lot of places? Hey, can you tell me your God story? And when they sit there and hee-haw around, if they don't have one, you know what you do? Can I tell you mine? It's not complicated. You're not killing them. You're just sharing what happened to you. Let me go a little bit further before I give my illustration, because it's a really good illustration. See how biased I am on that illustration point. Sorry. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Ain't that something? Do you know what he said? How would I unless somebody can help me, unless a man can help me? You know what the funny thing about God is? God already sent a man. Wait a minute. Before he even knew he needed one? I bet that eunuch was sitting there. He might have read over it a couple times and went, God, he probably said to himself, I'm not getting this. God don't mind when you say, I don't know. You know what he does? He said, I'll send the help. I'll send you a preacher that don't even know he's coming to preach. God, I love this man. I can't wait to get to heaven. I see things a whole lot different. I can just see the unit kind of scooching over. Come on up here and sit with me. I guarantee you he probably didn't think he was going to be sitting up in the cab of the chariot with nobody. Amen. A person of a different race, a different culture, a different creed, in the place, in the desert. Come on up here and sit with me. I wonder what everybody else is with him. He was probably a pretty important person with a big honor rush. I bet everybody's looking at that chariot. Some of y'all think stuff like this. Well, America's got the gospel, and it's I wonder how far the gospel went with this man around the world before America was even founded. Some of us think that American Christianity is the only Christianity there is. The gospel's been everywhere. Amen. Some of you are, well, when it lands on the last place, then God can come back. I believe the last place might be somewhere in Tennessee before it's over with. I know some of y'all might think it'll be the last place, might be in a place called California. I don't know. And some of you, I thought that too for a long time. But, you know, when Courtney was young, 4 or 5 years old, she ended up getting a hold of a bunch of our Gideon Bibles. And she went to school one day and she started handing them out. 99% of the kids on her school bus didn't even know what a Bible was. That's in Northwest Georgia. So it's not far-fetched that if one of our kids get radically saved, born again, and want to share Jesus, might share Jesus with the last person that needs to hear the gospel on the face of this planet. That gets me excited. People say, I want to go home. I wish the Lord would come back. Share the gospel more. You might get right in front of the last person that needs to hear it. Which, ain't that something? And he said, sit with him in verse 32. Then the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, and he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Charlie, I don't mean to pull you out in front of everybody on this thing. You've been to a pretty obscure place in your life, haven't you? In Louisiana? What's that place? What's that town called with the sinkhole stuff going on? Anybody else been to Belrose, Louisiana? Could you take us back there? I mean, if we all loaded up in the church van, could you run us down there? Okay. Anybody else been to an obscure place in the United States that nobody's probably ever heard of and you've been there? Come on, anybody, y'all kind of leaving me out on a limb here. Huh? Did you say Wyoming? I mean, just Wyoming itself, or is there a little town in Wyoming? Okay, give me the name of one. Farson. Farson, Wyoming. Has anybody else been to Farson, Wyoming? Can you get us there? I mean, if we loaded up the church van, took a 4-day trip, could you get us there? All right, good deal. Because you've been there, right? Why do you think Philip could share with this eunuch about what's being read out of Philip or out of Isaiah? Because he's been there. People worried about sharing the gospel. They're worried about sharing their faith. Don't worry about it. You know why? If you've met Jesus and you've been there, it's biblical, it's sound, and it's fair, and it's good to share. Amen? All you got to say is, hey, one day I came to an end of myself and I repented, asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, and he's been leading my life ever since. And if you would do the same thing, you would find him. It's amazing. Ain't that something? Ain't that amazing? Let me share it the way it should be shared. I'm sorry. The place in the scripture, what he read, he was led to the sheep to the slaughter. This is what I would have said as Philip. He went to the slaughter as a lamb, and he didn't say anything. He didn't say, I'm innocent, and he didn't tell them how guilty I was. That's what Philip said. Philip looked over at the eunuch and said, I'm guilty. And that Jesus, that Savior of ours, that one who Isaiah wrote about 1,000 or 2,000 years prior, he went to that cross and he never mentioned my name. He never screamed about his innocence. He simply got on the cross and died for my sins and your sins too, my friend. That's who the scripture's about. He opened not his mouth. in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He was embarrassed on the cross. He was beaten beyond all recognition. He was beaten to a pulp. He took everything they had, and guess what? I went free when I should have been embarrassed about my sin. God, let me, he's saying, one day when I stand before God, I should be embarrassed. I should be humiliated. I should be put to death. I should be stripped naked. I should be beat beyond all recognition. I should have my hair plucked out. I should be called name. I should be ridiculed. But I won't because of what he did. Whew. I love the seven sayings of Calvary. I do. But you know what I'm more impressed with is the silence at Calvary. The things that Jesus didn't say or wouldn't say. He died for us, ultimately. And who shall declare his generation? You know what he's saying right there? It's my pleasure. It's my honor. It's my opportunity to go everywhere God wants me to go to declare what that man was written about in Isaiah, did at Calvary, and I get to tell it. And I get to tell it in Jerusalem. I got to tell it in Samaria. And I'm telling it to you here today. And what a privilege that is. And what a privilege we have to share the gospel, the Savior, Jesus Christ, with lost and dying people. That's what he was saying. That's the scripture. I read that for the first time and I could hear the message. Who will declare his generation? Everybody that's born again should be saying this. Here I am. Send me. God, here I am. Send me. You've cleansed me. You've washed me. You've saved me. You covered my sins with your righteousness. God, give me every opportunity, whether I love it or whether I hate it, to stand and declare your gospel. For his life, it is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered, I love this, Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just a chariot ride through the desert. Just a little message about Isaiah as we ride. I love this. Ain't it amazing how the Spirit of God overwhelms the eunuch and he starts talking about things that he probably never even thought about? Hey, what would hinder me from being baptized? What in the world would make him think he had to be or wanted to be? You know what he was saying? In this chariot tonight, I feel like I've died and been brought back to life. He goes, yeah, that's kind of what happens when you get saved. The old man is passed away, and behold, the new man is risen in life in Christ Jesus. God, I can't wait. You know what I love about this too? This is so organic and real and awesome. They didn't have to have a family member. They didn't have to get a church group together. They didn't have to do nothing. You know what they did? Hey, here's a mud hole. What about that one? Amen? You know what he was saying? Guys, I want y'all to get this. You know what he was saying? This is not a ceremony. This is just what happened. This is not a thing that I've got to get everybody's approval of. I was a dead man, and now I'm alive. I'm dead to my sin, and I'll live evermore. When I go down in that water, it's like you're burying me. And when I come up, I'm going to be a new man in Christ Jesus. You see all the people that are with him looking at him going, this, what in the world? You don't think that changed lives? You don't think that changed people? You don't think one person like that going back to his country? We sent you down there to worship. What'd you learn? One name above all other names. Jesus. And when they were come up out of the water, Let's go back to verse 38. And he commanded the chariot stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called up Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What an awesome story. God, that's what I like. Philip, I mean, he dunks him. I don't even know if he gets up out of the water. Phillips is already jetting out. The eunuch celebrating. Praise God, hallelujah. Hey, Philip, hey, whoa, where are you at? Phillips then been rearranged by the Holy Spirit of God, and he says what? Get to preaching all the way back to here. Man, that had to be an awesome trip. What lit the light? Just that one little encounter. Down in the desert, him, God, and the eunuch, get to baptize him, get to see him saved, radically saved. Now, what do you think he's preaching all the way back? What do you think he's preaching all the way back to Caesarea? Every village, every place he hits. Isaiah, he was led to the Lamb as a slaughter. Amen. He died for our sins. It's Jesus. Man, guys, what am I saying to you? When we left here Sunday night, I told some of them, be careful. I've told some of you, when we've done car washes, when we went out here and fed people, when we does it, be careful. Why? What would happen? You'll love that stuff so much, you'll want to do that. You'll want to do that more and more. That's what it's all about. Because guess what? God will push you around and move you and manipulate you in this world. But the next thing you know, when you start seeing people like this eunuch get saved, mine's Jason Medina. When you see that one person get it, you're like, I ain't never going back. I'm a fisherman for life. I'm a fisherman life. When you hear one cry, you see one get touched, you see one get healed, you see one get blessed, you're going to run off to the next one and say, let's see if we can do it again. Let's see if me and God will do it again. Amen? That's what it's all about. Let's all stand. Hope you've learned something.